Tonight our speaker is Nick G.
Nick.
And come on up, Nick. Until 9 o'clock. Thank you so much.
Okay. Thanks a lot. Good evening, everybody. My name is Nick, and I am an alcoholic. And actually, I'm a real alcoholic, as described here in Alcoholics Anonymous. I didn't know that when I got in here. It is always such a privilege and an honor to do this in Alcoholics Anonymous. It's a humbling thing to be asked to do this. I want to thank Rocky for asking me to share my experience. I've never been in the meeting of this format in terms of the dedicated sponsorship. I think it's I'll share exactly my experience with you, how it's been for me in both sides and the receiving sponsorship and providing sponsorship to men. I came here totally defeated. I was when I got into Alcoholics Anonymous, I was really ready. I didn't know that, but I'd been preparing myself to join you for many, many, many years. And when I finally showed up, amazingly enough, you people were ready for me. And I'll describe to you, you were so tolerant with me. I just unbelievable. And those are some of the lessons that I remember when I got in. When I came in, I call in. I saw something on TV. They were interviewing some alcoholic. I was drunk watching this, and I couldn't have been in a meeting of AA because there were cameras in there. So they hold hands and all that. And I wrote down, drunk, I call AA, and that's what I did. The next day, I got home. I didn't stop at the 7-Eleven that I always stopped at, and I called Alcoholics Anonymous. I had been desperate for a long time. The last 6 months before I came into Alcoholics Anonymous, I had surrendered to alcohol completely, totally. I had given up any hope of stopping at all. I had been trying to stop for 4 years, and I just couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. I'd get drunk after 1 day, after 2 days. And my last 6 months, I gave up. I gave up. And if somebody said, you're going to die, I would say, how soon is this going to happen? I just couldn't stand it anymore. So that's I call AA. I didn't call AA asking for help either. I just wanted to know where your damn meetings were. That's what I told the people at the central office when they answered the phone. So they never wrote me down as a 12-step call at all. They sent me to Torres Lomita Club, and that's what I went to my first meeting on the 29th of December of 1988. And my obsession to drink was removed that very first night. Go figure. No God, no asking for help, nothing. Just showed up there. Absolutely unbelievable. That's what happened to me. Now, once I started, I found, which is today still my home group, is the Sunrise Attitude Adjustment Meeting on 254th at Western in Harbor City. I started going there every day, every morning. And very strange lingo here, all the stuff. I love the people. I love the hugs and all the stuff. And people seem to be confused as to why they drank. And I was very clear why I drank. So every time the sharing came around and it got to me, I told them why I drank. I had big ears. I had polio when I was a kid. I had all these things. All the things that had happened all my life that I had never told anybody. Never. I didn't never tell my mom, my dad, preachers, teachers, you name it. All the people in my life, I never told them how I felt inside. Never. I never told anybody how I drank either. And I got into Alcoholics Anonymous, and it was amazing to me with listening to other people in there. So when they got to me, I told them. I told them everything that hurt me all my life. I used to just pour all this stuff out. I had no problem doing that. And oblivious to everybody else, pretty much. And, that meeting you get 2 minutes to share, and I'll go on, I'll break down and cry. That's what I did for I don't know, like 30 days. And some of the old timers roll up their eyes like, geez, But they'll tell me, see, that's the first lesson that I got of Alcoholics Anonymous. They have their limit of 2 minutes. Nobody ever came and said, get out of here. No, you're breaking the rules here. They'll just sit there and listen to me and say, tell me to come back. So I'll come back the next day. And I told them some more. I got plenty of stuff, So I told them more and more. And they'll just look at me. And after about 30 days of this, some of these people started getting tired of this. I'd cry a lot. I just tell them all this. And they said, keep coming back. So, all right, not a bad deal. I come back the next day, And after a while, they started getting tired of this, so they suggested, some of these people suggested to me that I get a sponsor. So, why don't you get a sponsor? I had no idea what a sponsor was. And they told me, so you can talk to somebody, that you can talk to somebody about all that stuff, And we have here's a program of recovery, and we have a process that we do here to stay sober. And you need somebody who has some experience here in the program who can guide you through and become your friend, that type of thing. And I was petrified. Here's my experience with this. I was absolutely petrified, asking anybody. I don't know why I had this, but this absolute terror of being rejected. It was just, unbearable. I mean, it was so painful because I heard that it was important to get somebody, but I couldn't ask anybody. And here's what happened to me. I was only what, 4 or 5 months, I guess. I was going to, maybe it was like three months of doing this. I was going to the Lincoln School. They had a speaker meeting on Saturday, and I was going there to a speaker meeting. And I'll sit up front. I sat up front, and I'll just cry when speaker will speak and will touch me. Anything will touch me. I'll just cry. So this guy who was for my morning meeting, he sat next to me like almost every time. He's got tired of this too, I guess, of watching me like this. So one day he sat next to me. This is one of my first lesson day. He sat next to me and said, "Would you like to read the book with me?" That's what he said. Oh, man. What a relief. Next Monday I go to the morning meeting and told everybody, "I got a sponsor." He never told me he was going to be a sponsor to read the book with me. That's all he said. That's all he said. So I started getting together with him. That's how it happened to me. So I watched for that. And I roll up my eyes today to people like me who come like me, destroyed like me, who can't ask anybody. I watch for people like that because I remember. And I roll up my eyes too, and I get, oh, jeez, how long are we going to have to put with this? But I go and approach them, you see, yeah, because I know how that feels. So I got the sponsor. Now, let me show you my first experience of sponsoring somebody. I was probably 5 months or so, and now I have a sponsor, right? And this guy asked me to sponsor him out of that meeting, and I hadn't finished all the steps or anything. He just asked me, and by then I've heard all the stuff. It's supposed to be a service and help others and all this. So when he asked me to do that, I said, sure. So I asked my sponsor, what do I do? He said, well, read that chapter 7. It tells you exactly what you need to do. And what is the thing that I read? I said, tell him your story. So I told him to come over to my house. He came over to my house, and we sat in the balcony there, and I told him my story, and told him my story, and told him my story. And he couldn't get a word in. I just go in. I had all this, my whole life, you know. I kept telling him about all the stuff that happened to me and all my things. And I stopped to breathe, and he told me, I think I need somebody with more experience. I walk out. I couldn't believe it. Out of my house. Just told me goodbye, and he needed somebody more experienced. I said, I can't believe this guy walked out of me. And I figure I really messed this guy up. I figure this guy's going to get drunk. By the way, I never saw him again in my life. Never again. I never saw him in AA or anywhere else. I don't know what happened to him. But he left, and I felt really bad because I figure, I screwed this up. I mean, he's supposed to be of service here and help other alcoholics. This is no good. So I called my sponsor. I said, I told him exactly what I told you. I said, well, you stay sober. And who knows what's going to happen to the guy, but you stay sober. Another big lesson that I learned right there. What has happened to me since then, in the process of doing this, then I had another sponsor eventually that took me through the steps as laid out in the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. And one of the things that out of those experiences that I had in the early days and that I've learned since then is that, especially with the guy that I tried to sponsor, the first one, is to listen. And one of the stories that I've heard in AA that really touched me because it's significant, I've heard like in speaking meetings and stuff, that people say of somebody who falls into a pit and he can't get out, and the priest comes and says, you pray, and the psychologist says, do this and that. And the alcoholic comes in and jumps right in the pit, and the other guy says, well, how in the hell are we going to get both of us out? He said, well, I know the way out. So I get into the pit and that. And what that comes to this, what I learned from my experiences have been to meet people where they are at. Because, see, that's what you did for me. You met where I was with my craziness and all this stuff that I had in my head and the sadness and all the stuff that and the pain that I carry with me. Meet them where they are. And the second thing that I learned with this new guy that eventually served me well, and I learned to do, slowly but surely, I learned to listen, listen with the heart. You know, in AA we say that this is the language of the heart, and this is truly, truly, because I no longer listen to all the words, because we're so crazy when we get here. I say things that I don't mean, I feel things that I don't say. It's all screwed up. That's how I came in here. And working with people, that's how I experience too. They don't really mean say what they do. It just really screwed up. All the whole psychic is all upside down, because alcohol destroys our whole spirit and our body too. It damages so badly. So I learned to listen with the heart. And sometimes the people who seem so rebellious that they don't want to do any of this, they really do it. They just don't know how to say, I really want this. I've had really kind of strange experiences. I've had experiences with somebody who seems to be so eager and willing, and they quote the book the next day and all this stuff, and next thing I know, they're drunk. But I found people are really rebellious and all that, and I listen, and all of a sudden, they get it, and they just kind of change all of a sudden. It's truly, truly amazing. Another big lesson that I learned in this process is that they're really, really, I'm just an instrument of this, you know. I don't know how many people I've sponsored. I don't care. I don't count either. I don't know out of the people that I've sponsored. I'm here, one of the men that I sponsored today. I don't know, you know, I really don't know if I'm a good sponsor, and I have no idea. I don't worry about that. I do know this, that I need to put my heart and my spirit into this and bring God into the picture, because I, you know, it says when everything fails, that you read in the out of the chapter here, that when everything else fails, working with another alcoholic will always save the day. That has been my absolute experience. And when he says when everything else fails, is if the meeting fails, if calling my sponsor fails, if the prayer doesn't seem to do it, meeting with somebody has always done this. And the meeting is a one-on-one. Now, that's another thing that I've learned here, to work with people one-on-one. It's not like preaching to thousands, but it's really one-on-one, because that's where it's at for me. And that's what I found out, that those moments, the time that I spend somebody, and I have the most spiritual time that I can have. I tell you, I've chosen to meet somebody in my house for an hour, hour and a half, rather than go to a meeting. To me, that's a good trade-off right there. It has always worked for me. I have never been disappointed. I don't know what's happened to all these men, but many of them are around. They sponsor somebody else. I tell them from the beginning, and I hope we become friends, but we don't have to. We don't have to. That's fine. I'm here to pass on a message to you the way it was passed on to me, and it's basically the message that is in this book of Alcoholics Anonymous. The very first thing that I do when I meet with people, first I kind of interview them. I've evolved to this. Here's another thing that I want to say about this based on my experience, is that this is a kind of do it. You learn by do it. There's no book that you can buy that tells you how to do this, even though chapter 7 says, and there's a pamphlet, you know, this pamphlet, I don't know if some of you have seen about sponsorship, has some ideas about that and explain what a sponsor is and all the stuff. My own experience is learn by doing it. Got to do it to learn. And I have evolved. I learned. The men that I've sponsored have taught me a tremendous lot. And I have learned as I go along. And I learned a few things that are very important. Mistakes are going to be made. If I ask, and I get on my knees every time I meet with somebody in my house, even though we're meeting weekly, I get on my knees every time before they show up. Because I'm just a participant. I'm a witness on this, really. I don't make things happen here. It's just a participant of this. I'm asking God to guide me as to what to do. And there are certain things that I picked up through the years. I have given people money. And the book has very clear instructions about that. It says it's not about the money. It's not about helping them out. I brought a guy to my house one time, too. I mean, I've done some of the stuff that I've heard in AA that suggested, too. And it's not about any strict about any other stuff. It's how to do it, to make sure that the person doesn't become dependent financially or anything on you, that type of thing. So it's just I learned to listen and pay attention. So based on that, I asked for inspiration, and pretty much what seems to be the right thing to do, I will do. I'm willing to do it. That's the significant thing in my life, that I'm willing to do it. And I spend time with them, and what I do is that I give them very clear instructions for each one of the steps, and we start on the step one. And before we start on the steps, and I read what was read to me from the sponsor who took me through all the steps. I've done the steps four times. The last time is what I believe it really took, and I really got the transformation that is promised in Alcoholics Anonymous. And what I got out of that time is the same day that I read to them. The first thing I read to them is on Roman numerals 13. To show their alcoholics precisely how we have recovered is the main purpose of this book. And also says, talks about it. If you want, on page 20, I believe it says, if you want to get sober up, you may already be asking, what do I have to do? It is the purpose of this book to tell you precisely what we have done to recover. on page 29. This, I read them out. That's why I memorized this. I read them out on page 29. It says, further and clear-cut directions are given on how we have recovered. So I get you get the drift, precisely, specifically, clear-cut directions, as opposed to what? As opposed, well, kind of take what you like, leave the rest, you figure out, if you don't like it, you don't do it, it's kind of, you know, it's all open to interpretation. This is all suggested. I had a new guy recently who told me that. He said, but the book is very specific, that's suggested from the cover. And then right away he said, well, some old timer told me that suggested, like the sheriff says, get in the back of the car. You know, I said, yeah, kind of like that. We suggest you do that if you want to recover. So I'm very explicit about that. I show them that what the book says that. That is very clear what it says to do. I also emphasize to them, I have no wisdom of my own, none. And I have to tell you, I'm always scared. Sometimes I used to be envious. Okay now with that. But for a long time, I hear people a long time that have this knack to say these one-liners that save people's life. I'm always amazed at that. And I have seen it. I have people tell me that. And I have experienced that from people that say things that really wake me up, really, that are, I have no ability to do that. Every time I hear that, I swear to God, I say, shit, I wish I had thought of that. You know what I mean? Especially somebody that sponsors goes and gets drunk. And then I see him in the meeting later, like 2 months later. Oh, I met this guy, and he told me this, and saved my life. I said, God damn. You know, I how can I think of that? You know what I mean? So I guess that's how he goes. So I just don't have that wisdom. So what he saves me and kind of sells me down with all of that is that I stick with this, because I tell people, if you do this and it doesn't work for you, please, I'll go with you to a meeting and we both get up and you tell everybody, you know, I did this and he didn't do a squat for me. And here I am, desperate. I'm horrible. I'm no better than I was. And either I'm going to blow my brains out today and go and get drunk. And you know what we do in AA? Keep coming back. That's what we do. So I said, but you got to try that. Try that first. I said, if you got nothing, no better idea what to do, do this. Do this. Do this exactly as it says to do. Because the other thing I point out is that is true in my life. It says almost the answer to every problem in my life is right here. And I learned to study this book and read the book. Memorizing the book, quoting the book is not going to save my life. But knowing what to do is very important to me because I forget. So I look it up here and I point out to people. See, I'm not married. I don't have children. That's another area of my life. There are a lot of life experiences that I haven't had. And most of the men, you know, are married, have been divorced 50 times, all this. So I tell them, you know, I have no clue about that stuff. I don't know. Maybe leave your wife. I have no idea. Poison her. Maybe. I have no idea. I wouldn't do that, but I can tell you one thing, that whatever principle you need to apply to whatever problem is in this book, and what the richness of my life has been, that I know where to find it, and I can point it out to them, and I either do it or don't do it. If I have done the stuff that I tell people to do, I tell them that I've done that. If it's out of my personal experience, I tell them exactly what I have done. And if it is not, I say, apply this principle. And if not, also, especially with people with really intense problems, personal problems that I have no idea and experience, I point them to people who have experience with those issues in Alcoholics Anonymous, which you can get them all here, you know what I mean, with all kinds of things. So you can always find somebody who is using this program to trudge through their lives with different problems and challenges, and they'll be able to help out. And I have no problem in doing that, too. I had a guy also recently who I've had two I share this with you. I have two persons that asked me to sponsor him, and we same routine, because I don't change my routine. I tell him, I'm not going to customize my routine for you. I'm not going to do that. You do exactly what I'll ask you to do in terms of the program. I'll tell you exactly what you need to do. And there's a step study meeting on Thursday night. I think Bill, you went there recently. Well, Tyria, that's my meeting for a step. I ask people to go there. I don't ask them. I tell them to go there. That's the few things that I do. I tell them to go there. And I say, you're going to hate everybody there, which is expected. If you love them, I'll worry about that, if you like these people. But if you don't like the meeting, you hate these people, you're in the right place, I tell them, because that's what happened to me there, too. So I said, but that's where we do the steps, and because we focus on the steps there in the meeting. So I tell them. But other than that, from the book, you know, I lost my train of thought. I forgot what my point is. I was going to make out of that. It's basically that I guide them through the process as the book, and the only few things that I tell them to do is to go to the meeting, pretty much. The two first people that I've had experience that has kind of a different experience from the others that I work with. This one guy, he was coming to my house and I was doing the stuff, and he'll get drunk. Like after the second step, third step, he never went through all the way to the end. He'll get drunk and call me. He'll call me like a month later or something, really bad shape, and I'll go and pick him up. One thing that I learned later, we don't give up on anybody. Rebellious, whatever, that I don't give up on anybody. On anybody. They can come back a million times here. And every time was welcome. As long as they come back, in my heart, they have a place in here. So the guy keep coming back and asked me to sponsor again. You know, I'll meet him around and he said, oh, can you sponsor me again? So we go through the routine again and again. It's just like 15 times. I finally told him, you know, one of the things that we learn is to get practical, too. You know, this is a very practical, simple thing. Something is not right. I'm not telling you the right thing, so you're not doing the things that I tell you to do, so something is not right. Why are we going to repeat this? Say, I'm not going to go to the grave with you. You know what I mean? Why don't you get somebody else or something? I encourage him to do that. You know, get somebody else. Because here's one thing I found out. We hear different voices. That happens to me in AA. I go to a different speaker. I hear all of a sudden, I've been sober 18 years now, and I can hear somebody say something that I never heard of before in all this time. And yet, I go home, and it's in the book somewhere that I read it a million times. All of a sudden, it's like a new thing. And it's really astounding hearing from somebody else's perspective or voice. The same thing, though. See, that's truly amazing. So I encourage him to do that. This man died. He committed suicide. You know, not because of me or any of that stuff. I don't take credit and I don't take blame for any of that stuff. None. Because this is all God's business. See, I'm just a nobody trying to stay sober myself and try to pass the message. But the miracle is really come from somewhere else. The real transformation. I just hope, I pray that I can communicate the message properly to reach people. You know, so that they awaken the way that it happened to me. Anyway, this man committed suicide. There was another guy recently. I worked with him also like 6-7 years. An incredible tragedy. Every time he goes and uses and gets drunk, same thing. I let him go too. I said, you know, I love you a lot. I really love you. I really love this man. What happened with you, with somebody like that, that you get to know intimately, and I mean intimately, his family doesn't know him as well as I do. You know, I can see what's happening to him. I can almost read his mind. It's really astounding. What happens with this process? I'm astounded. I tell him, man, I think you're going to get drunk. You know, I can't believe. And he's that he won't do this, or he do it half-ass. It's just the same old story. And I said, you know, man, I can't walk down this path with you and watch you die. You're going to have to die on your own, alone, or with somebody else. I just can't do it. But I told him this too. Maybe you need to hear the voice from somebody else. You know, somebody else will get in there. Something will happen. I'm not doing it. Maybe it's my accent. Who in the hell knows? I said, well, try some other accent, something, you know, some experience, somebody else, you know what I mean? Because he had children, I had a bitter divorce, you know, that's very, very emotional. And I don't have experience with that. So I told him, yeah, I don't have experience with that. Maybe you need somebody who has that kind of experience that can relate and the intensity, you know, how the grasp that they have inside of your soul, you know. And he got somebody else, and I see him around, he's doing well, see? So you never know. So I'm not attached to people that way. You know, I think that since this is all a fellowship, and they say we do it together, there's an enormous amount of resources, human resources here within Alcoholics Anonymous for everybody. We're united by two main elements, that we're powerless over alcohol and that our lives are unmanageable. That's what it is. So we ourselves, I know me and myself, I'm nothing but a drunk. That's a fact of life. That is the most important fact of my life, is that me or myself, I'm nothing but a drunk. Period. So I need to remind myself all the time about that and let God take in charge. That's what I try to do. So, okay, it's 9 o'clock, so I'll stop here. And now is the period of questions and answers.